Well, good morning, church.
Wow,
what a blessed day it's been. I invite you to open your Bibles with me, please, as we keep the excitement for Jesus Christ going to the New Testament book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Now, if you're not familiar with Peter, this was one of the followers of Jesus Christ. And he wrote a couple of epistles we find back to back, near the back of your Holy Bible in the New Testament. If you go to the book of Revelation, you've gone just a little bit too far. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And we've already extended Happy Father's Day to the Heavenly Father and to you, but now let me address the radio audience. Happy Father's Day, dear friends, as we're celebrating our Heavenly Father and also the earthly fathers remain behind. The sermon title for today is The Greatest Father's Day Gift Ever. What? Ever? Yes. The greatest Father's Day gift ever. Wow. Was not a tie, was not a tool. It was gifts from God. The greatest Father's Day gift ever given was our salvation. If you know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, you won't debate that. God the Father loved us so much, He reversed it. He gave us salvation. Wow, what a novel thought. So salvation is the greatest gift ever given from God to man. But right behind that, men, now I'm talking to all the godly men here, as well as those listening over the radio waves. Not only does God give us salvation as a great gift, right behind that, the second greatest gift God gave man, the Bible says, was woman. Think about that. The greatest gift. We need to treat our wives as the second greatest gift God ever gave us. Right behind His personal relationship. Ladies, that'd be a great time for you all to say, amen. Amen. Then God, if He so wills, He not only gives us salvation that we can receive, also He gives us a godly woman. He also often will give us a godly family with children and grandchildren. Wow. Many of you have asked about the new addition to our family. Our son, you know, and his wife had their third child. It very well may be their last or what they experienced in the Blue Ridge Mountains, but it was a home delivery. And so I have a couple of pictures here for you to enjoy on the overhead. And this is a Father's Day address to you today, the greatest gift ever given. Right behind that, there was the little chunk, the little 12-pounder. This is Eleonora Jane. Nora Jane is her name. And that was her moments after she was brought into this world. And I looked and I told my wife, I said, honey, I've never seen an ugly child, but my little granddaughter looks like a sumo wrestler. Now, I can say that as Papa. Look at her. Look at the big paws on her. I tell you, she looked like about 12 pounds. But, moments after cleaning her up, that's what she looked like. Oh, so the rules change here. So here we find in our today's lesson, do we look different to Almighty God? After, watch this, men, God gives us salvation. God often blesses us with a beautiful wife, children, grandchildren. He blesses us with a joy, the joy of a job. Wow, the Bible says if man doesn't work, neither should he eat. I find great joy in working. How many of you know that when God put Adam and Eve in the garden, He encouraged Adam to work, to tend the garden? Work is not a dirty four-letter word. It's a good thing, the joy of a job, the joy of pleasure, golfing and hunting and fishing and spending time with the kids. All these things are wonderful. The greatest gift ever given from God to man is not where I'm going today. It's not about our salvation, our family, and hunting and fishing and motorcycling and all those things. The partial inspirationist came to me in a Target just a few weeks ago. Yes, men, I understand what you're thinking. A Target department store? I went there because my little Ellie Grace, my first grandchild, needed a pair of boots. I will go to hell and back for my grandchildren. Can I get amen? I don't do Target. Listen to me, men. I'm talking to the real men. If Cabela's, Outdoor World, Dick's Sporting Goods, and Walmart doesn't have it, I just don't need it. Amen? You can throw in Harbor Freight or a tool company, Craftsman Tools. I'll say, I'm right there with you. But that's about it. But when Ellie said, Papa, I need some new rubber boots. Guess what Papa did? He found a Target. And Mama went there with her. And when I went through the aisles there trying to find her some little rubber boots to play in the rain, they had an entire aisle set up, a section set up for Father's Day. As I said, partial inspiration for today's message, the greatest gift ever given, came from what I saw there. It was a Titleist golf hat, and it said, Gift Ideas for Dad. It was a Titleist golf hat. It had a fishing pole there. It had a little toolbox there. It had a variety of things that men enjoy getting, okay? But the thing that really caught my eye was a book. And it said, Dad, my gift to you, please fill out and give it back to me. What's this, man? I opened it up. It was blank pages. What was this? And I read the instruction. It was a child giving their father this book, this blank journal, saying, Dad, I value your opinion. Write down here in this book, teach me some things about life. And when you finish with it, give it back to me. Isn't that great? You think we men who walk with God have some things we want to share with our children and grandchildren? Sure we do. Daddy, can you teach me about finances? Honey, I'd love to. I'd love to teach you about finances. Don't live outside of your means. Can I get an amen? You don't need to buy a $70,000 car making $30,000 a year. Next to salvation, Jesus Christ had more to say about money than any other subject in the entire Bible. Did you know that? Teach your boys and girls the value of money. How money is a slave to you, not a master to you. How money should work for you, not you for money. Daddy, can you teach me about dating? My daughter did this. Go on her first date. Her second date. The first date showed up and blew the horn. What out here? Now, I'm living in a church parsonage at this time. I went out there and the music's too loud after I finished kicking the door in. I said, are you calling a dog? No, who are you? I said, I'm the last person you're going to meet before seeing Jesus. That's my only daughter. If you can't come in here and introduce yourself, you can go to the movies by yourself. You need a man up, young man. I'm sorry you didn't have a dad that taught you anything, but I taught Amanda, listen, honey, not all boys are bad, but most of them are. And when you go on a date, bucket seats or not, you take your little Bible in your purse, and halfway through the date, when it gets a little handsy, you just lay Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John between you and him. If he crawls over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get out of the car and call me. I'll put something on him that Ajax won't take off. Amen? How would you like to have a daughter ask you, as my daughter did, Daddy, what can I expect on a date? I've talked to Mom. A grown woman was a virgin when she got married. Proud of it. How would you like your children to say, Daddy, Mommy, teach me about prayer. Daddy, teach me about making big decisions, a vocation, what school to go to. It's just a norm. If you're in Virginia, it's got to be Tech, or it's got to be UVA. It's got to be JMU. It's got to be George Mason. It's got to be all these different schools because you're a Virginia resident. Here, it's got to be Concord. It's got to be Marshall, or it's got to be WVU. Is that the school of higher learning God wants you to attend? Wouldn't it be great if children came and said, Daddy, I'm going to give you a blank book. Teach me about life. How would you fathers respond? How would you grandfathers respond? I hope and pray you wouldn't respond with your wisdom based on the world's wisdom. I hope you would say, that's a wonderful question. Let me show you what God has showed me. So friends, the greatest gift God gave us is not a necktie to hang ourselves with. It's not even salvation. It's a gift of giving back to our children based on this book. Watch, that's not blank. This book, every page is full. It has the answers. So if your daughters and sons come to you and say, teach me about money, teach me about life, teach me about heartache, so when one of my friends dies, I know how to respond. Teach me about witnessing to my friends. Teach me about having this personal relationship with God. I'll have one daddy moment here. If you think this is prideful, take it home with you. My daughter was first year student at Liberty University. People criticize us because we sent her to Liberty. Can you believe that? An ordained Baptist minister elected to send his daughter to a Baptist university, and people criticized us. And I got a little sarcastic with a couple, I'll be honest. I'm sorry, I consulted the Holy Spirit, not you, how to raise my children. And then I regretted saying it, and I'm repeating it to you today. It stung. But in her first semester, they're in class on humanism. They were talking about the dysfunctional family. Amanda couldn't really relate other than just what she had read in books. She said, you all take this with a grain of salt. I hope to marry a man that treats me like my daddy treats my mother. Someone told me that. When I talked to her today in the Middle East, she said, Dad, I'm sorry I can't send you a card or give you a gift. I said, sis, you gave me a gift many, many years ago that means more to me than the entire world itself. What was it? It's my little secret. Now I shared it with you. 1 Peter chapter 1, God's talking through the pen of Peter with this page that is full about how we should take advantage as men and grow in the Lord and pass it on. Fill the pages, the journal, your children's lives. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Let's just go to chapter number 2 for sake of time, please. This is about growing in your faith, growing in love, growing in your experiences with God. Wherefore, therefore, in verse number 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2, put off, lay aside all evil, all malice, all deceit, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, all evil speakings, the backbiting of others is what it's speaking of. And as newborn babies, verse number 2 ought to be underlined in your Bible. As newborn babies, we as men should be craving, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Do you see it? The milk of the Word. As newborn babies, just like that beautiful child right there. Thank you, you chose life. That doesn't upset. I love that in a church. Crying babies better than crying deacons, amen? I love that. There's life in the church, young people in the church, babies in the church. But watch this. There's a lot of men, grown men, that are still in the nipple. What? There's a lot of men that are still on the nipple, on the bottle. A child acts like a child. They cry. They throw fits. They get soiled diapers. They do all. Grown men sometimes do that. They've never really grown in the Lord. And Peter, was slow to learn. He had to grow. But he's saying here, look, as newborn babies in your faith, you should crave the milk of the Word, yes. But this milk is going to help you to grow, but it's not going to stop there. Since, in verse number 2, if so be that you have tasted, what? That the Lord is good and plenty. The Lord is gracious. To whom? Coming as unto a living stone. He's not a dead stone, a living stone. Oh, and he was rejected. He was disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God as very valuable, very precious, describing Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Very, very valuable, bought and paid for. So you, as living stones, do you see that now? Symbolic of our offspring of Jesus, you as living stones are built up in a spiritual house, a holy, we learned about the word holy here earlier in a song, the holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Christ, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, in verse number 6, also as is contained in the Scripture. Remember this book that God gave us? Behold, the Bible says in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Who do you think that's talking about, class? Jesus, the living stones, the chief cornerstone, our salvation, our faith, even our church, elect, selected for a purpose, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed, disappointed, or confounded. Let's just stop right there. What in the world is Peter saying? Peter's saying, men, you should desire the milk of the Word. You as men should be craving this as much as you do any other thing in your life, if not more. We men, we now go to YouTube, learn how to fix things. It used to be we had old encyclopedias doing plumbing, electrical, auto mechanics and all that, but now you can just Google it. You can just go to YouTube and learn how to fix just about anything. But he's saying, listen, many of you are still on the bottle. You're still on the nipple. Peter's saying down here, what you're doing is not bad, but you haven't grown. You haven't grown like my little Nora Grace, or Nora Jane here, better. She has already grown so much. We just saw her yesterday for just a few hours. Even with Bible school and everything else going on, I had to hold my baby. And went there, she didn't look the same. In 1 week's time, how many of you ladies know, in 1 week's time, that child's countenance changed. In 1 week. And I looked at her and said, is that the little girl I've been seeing pictures on Facebook? Is that the little girl that my son and daughter-in-law sent us pictures when she was first born? Yes. She had changed. But here's what's sad with men. Oftentimes we get saved and we never changed. Our countenance looks the same. Our mannerisms look the same. Our diet looks the same. Come on, men. We're knife and forkers. It's time to put aside the bottle. It's time to kick it up a notch. So not only was Peter clear about men growing in the Lord, how about the Apostle Paul? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. Turn to the left, please. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3. The Apostle Paul also has some things to say about men growing in the Lord. When you were a child, you spoke as a child, you thought as a child, but hey, sooner or later, just put away those childish things. You got to step it up as a man, as newborn babies. I'm making no secret about the intent of this message. Babies don't leave a legacy, men do. Babies just leave a mess. Dirty diapers, spit ups, spills, temper tantrums, that's not men. We as men, we know better. And of course, if we're in the Word of God, we can see it down here. Look at me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it took Peter a long time to grow up, but how about the Apostle Paul, who was crucifying the church? Look in verse number 1 and following. He said, and I say this, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but even as carnal, as you were unto like babes in Christ. I fed you with milk. There's the milk there again. I fed you with milk and not with meat. Why? Well, you were not able to bear it. And yet he still wonders, are you able to bear it now? He said, you're still in the world. You're not holy. You're not separate. You're still carnal, verse number 3. Whereas there is among you envy and strife and division. He's saying the same thing that Peter said. You're acting like a baby. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's fast forward. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, the love chapter of the Bible. Turn over there, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. This is important. Man, we need to fill our journal with this teaching. We're no longer on the Bible, the bottle better. We need to be on the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 11. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man in Christ, I put away what? Childish things. The only place you go find that in the Bible. The only place. This is an encouragement to us men. Hey, this might be a good time to ask men to consider with me the overhead here. If I were to ask you today, what is your favorite kind of steak? Would it be a porterhouse? Would it be a T-bone? Would it be a ribeye? Would it be a filet mignon? I mean, if I were to ask you men, what's your favorite kind of steak, you would say, me don't care, Neanderthals. Me like meat. I don't care. You go to a restaurant, if they don't have prime rib that day, you're not going to get up and walk out, am I right? Sir, but we do have hand-rubbed ribeyes. Oh, I guess that'll work. Or we have thick cuts and T-bones. Oh, I guess that, we men, we don't care. We don't care when it comes to meat. Now, we might care a little bit when it comes to how we like the meat cooked. Me, personally, I'm saved, born again, heaven bound. I like mine rare. Anybody else like theirs rare? Please don't tell me you're going to kill a good, expensive steak by making a shoe leather on the grill. Please tell me you're not that person that... I was out with Larry and Betty Kemper our first time here. I'm going to call them out. And we went out to a nice dinner on their dime. And Larry said, get anything you want to. I said, well, sir, I can eat a salad. He said, I'm getting a steak. I'm a man. I'm getting a steak. So Donna's kicking me. Go ahead and get a steak. If he's going to get a steak, you can get a steak. They had prime rib. And the girl asked, she said, how do you like your prime rib? I said, I like a center cut. She said, now, you know that's rare. I said, yes, ma'am. Thank you for that. That would be fine. And when they brought it out, it was swimming in a pool of blood. And Larry looked over about halfway through the meal. He said, Dallas, I don't know if you know this about me or not, but I run a cattle farm. If I give something on my farm, a cow, a shot of penicillin, they'll get over that. Amen. They'll get up and walk away. What you're eating right now is a penicillin shot from getting up walking out of here. You see, men, we don't argue over the type of steak. We argue and debate over maybe the cooking, the preparing of the steak. But men, we don't care when it comes to meat. But watch this now. But when it comes to milk, oh, watch out. You let a woman bring 1% fat-free milk in, honey, I can read the newspaper through this. I want whole milk. Can I get amen, men? 2% at best, just so I won't have a divorce in my home. But don't be bringing this lactose-free, watered-down white stuff and put on my cereal. We understand this. I saw a funny cartoon years ago about all the healthy eating and everything was going multigrain. And it showed a dad who was taking the leftover cereal boxes. And he was like Jethro Bodine. He poured in the Cheerios. He poured in the Frosted Flakes. He poured in Captain Crunch. He poured it all in one big bowl. He said, that's my multigrain. Amen? But then he doused it with whole milk. And the wife said, only a man would understand that. Men, we understand that meat takes teeth. Not baby teeth, real teeth. The canines, the flesh-eating teeth. You have to grow into that. I'm asking you right now as men, where do we stand before God? Do we look at the overhead? Do we, as men of God, do we desire the milk of God? I hope so. That's when you're first saved. Yes. I'm going to make a theological leap here that some people don't really like. I think it's there. We as men should desire what Peter said, the milk of the Word. Yes. But it has to be more than just that. More than just God is great, God is good. John 3:16 and the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. We need to be meat eaters. And that's what the Apostle Paul comes on record saying here. Men, I fed you with milk. I want you to be meat eaters. It's time to step it up. Let's go to the next one here. When you were a child, you did this. Look in Hebrews. Hebrews says, listen, for even when you ought to be teachers, teaching others what's going on in the oracles of God, you're not skillful yet because you're still in the bottle. So my challenge to the men, all the men here, yes, enjoy the milk of the Word. But challenge yourself to step it up, to be more for Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? I find this out in counseling often. Then you ask, who carries the pocketbook in the house? The man says, I do. Who protects the house? I do. Who does the discipline in the house? I do. Who makes the major decisions about car purchases and all that? I do, I do, I do. Who leads the family spiritually? Oh, she does. You ever think about that? Men, men, men. This is your family. Remember what we said earlier? The greatest gift, salvation, wife, family. You're not going to mess this up. I'm not going to mess this up. Sitting with our family at dinner today, talking about God, you're not going to mess it up. And maybe one day your daughter, your son will put in their journal, my dad left me this legacy. Yes, how to treat my mother? Certainly. How to purchase a car? Yes. How to buy a house? How to go to school? How to be responsible? He taught me all these things. Daddy always went to work. He never backed up to a paycheck. We were talking about this morning in Sunday school. But Daddy also taught me how to love Jesus. Wouldn't that be a great chapter to put in your book? Steve Harvey is on television, they say, 5 days a week. He grew up with a biological father most of the time. And whether you're a Steve Harvey fan or not, he claims to be a Christian. I heard him recently say this, pertaining to Father's Day. My father always encouraged me. As a matter of fact, when I was small, he's on a talk show. He's got a half a dozen programs on television. He said, I always wanted to be on TV. I knew I wasn't going to be the athlete. I knew I wasn't going to be the author. I knew I wasn't going to be the musician. But I always thought one day, maybe God could use me on television to have fun and encourage others. And so he did this little essay on this, and everybody laughed at him in the class, including the teacher. When I brought it home with a big X mark on my paper, my daddy said, son, let me see you in the bedroom. He knew he was in trouble. He said, son, I want you to hold on to this. I want you to dream this dream. I want you to take this and put it in the top drawer of your little dresser there. And every day before you go to school, every day before you go to college, every day before you go to work, I want you to look at that again, just say, that's my dream and my daddy encouraged me. He said, you know how I give credit for me being on television now 5 days a week on four different venues? My father who encouraged me. Dads, we can do that. We can encourage our kids in the Lord. Today's the U.S. Open. Let me give you one other example. The U.S. Open is America's open golf tournament. You don't want to be a professional, play in it. It's in Pebble Beach, California right now. When the Arnold Palmer first came out, way back in the 50s, there was a guy named Ben Hogan. He's the father of the modern-day swing. And Ben Hogan was known to be very crass, very plain-smoking, very standoffish. He wouldn't sign autographs. World's greatest golfer. Still compared now to the best. Hogan was hard on young Arnold Palmer. Even when Palmer started to beat him in the major tournaments, including the Masters, and had some very ugly things to say about him. And he went back to his father who was a superintendent of a golf course, driving a tractor, cutting the grass. And Arnold Palmer said, Dad, I have a gift. Why does this guy, the world's famous, why does he hate me so bad? He says, son, I don't know, but let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. You can still be a great golfer and still be nice. Think about this. He said, I've never forgotten about this. Here on Father's Day, my dad told me you can be a great golfer and still be nice to people. And Arnold Palmer's the one that started the booth, assigning every hat, every badge, every card. And now many of the pros do that because Arnold Palmer took time to do what his dad said. Fathers, we're going to leave a legacy. Here where we're closing. We're going to leave a legacy. Wouldn't it be great if it was grounded in this right here, the Word of God? The milk is good, but our kids in today's time, they need some meat as well. Let's talk to God about it. Now, Father, we've been all over the place today. We've been all over the place today with just celebrations of life and fathers and mission projects, even milk. The milk of the Word. The milk, the nourishing milk of the Word that helps us to grow thereby. And Lord, it wasn't long ago and there was a campaign that got milk. And America got that vision again. And milk sales went through the roof because some athletes and some movie stars start drinking milk again. God, I wish, I pray, I beseech you, I beg you that the men in this church and those listening over radio would get back on the bottle, start there, back in the Word of God. Falling in love with you and your precious Word and spending time in devotions and prayer, committing verses to memory, getting back on the nipple, that nourishment, oh, thank you, God. But then not stopping there. But then stepping up to the meat of the Word. Being a knife and forker for you. A soul winner. A church builder. A worker for Jesus Christ. Passing on the legacy to our children. More than just a bib, but the Bible. The entire counsel of God. Help us as men to step it up. Be all we can be for you, through you, and by you. It can't stop with the next generation. Please help us, Lord, to take this book, this holy book, and to fill the pages of our children's children's children. We thank you, dear God, for your patience with us, your encouraging word, the milk, the meat, and the manna of the Word. Wow. We don't take any of it for granted. We love you and pray this in your name. Amen.